How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this week, when we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse number 1. The scripture says, And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there shall be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has made a declaration here. He's saying some of his disciples will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. And verse 2 says, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And so after this declaration, nearly a week later, the Lord takes these three apostles, Peter, James, and John. They seem to be referred to as that inner circle, our brethren that are close to the Lord and very near to the Lord according to the writings of the scripture. Mark, Brother Mark, John Mark, writing this gospel, not an apostle, a young man, a very young man, very possibly at the time of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells about these three that the Lord takes up to a very, very high mountain, apart by themselves, and it says he was transfigured. His glory began to shine. Our Lord, rather than holding back on the manifestation of his glory, which is normal and natural for him, he allowed his glory to break forth. It says here, and his raiment became shining. Even the clothes that he wore, which were of this old sinful earth, they'd been made by people in this earth, and they were of this earth, they became shining, exceeding white as snow. Snow was a description that John Mark came up with, and as the brethren told it, they're the ones that told it. And he says here, and so white as no fuller on earth can white them. And a fuller was known for taking garments and being able to whiten them using different chemicals and different things. And of course, that occurred naturally in that day, to make white garments white. And the Lord, his raiment became shining, whiter than snow. And as the account was, whiter than any fuller could make, whiter than white of this earth. And so our brethren see the Lord transfigured this way, and he had made a promise in this statement about 6 days, 6 days before, about a week before, there'd be some of them standing, would stand here, which will not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And so it seemingly, in this account, other accounts in the Gospels, seemingly a reference to the point that they would not die till they saw this great power of the Lord. And of course, it could certainly go beyond even the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is indeed going to show power when he is raises from the dead. So our brethren are able to see a wondrous thing here. The Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. Brother John writes about this in his gospel that they saw the glory of the Lord Jesus. He walked with them and they were with him, and And he taught them, he cared for them, he loved them and does love them. And John was just so marveled about the great love and the presence of the Lord. And he experienced this on this day and on this mount, the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory not being restrained any further, but allowed to break forth. Also, it says in verse number 4, and there appeared unto them Elias, or Elijah, with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And when our brethren Elijah and Moses were there, it wasn't necessary for it to be told who they were. That's the way it is with anyone that's from from the other side. That's the way I like to refer to it. Over there in glory with the Lord, Brother Elijah, Brother Moses, having been dead and passed from this life over into eternity with the Lord, they come back over to this side, and they're there talking with the Lord Jesus, and the brethren know it's them. Whenever the Lord Jesus comes back, it'll be known that it'll be him. When these great men of the Lord, the great men that the Lord chose and used in the ministry that he gave them, when they appeared in their glory and the glory that the Lord had given them, that glory of heaven, when they appeared here, Peter, James, and John knew who they were. And so they're talking with Jesus. It tells them in another gospel that they talk about the Lord's decease, his death. It's the Lord Jesus again. The Lord Jesus knows why he came. He's come to accomplish so great salvation, and is going to give his life a ransom for his people, a ransom for sinners. And he knows why he's come. Elijah and Moses know why he's come. They prophesied regarding the Lord Jesus Christ coming. They look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and that God would bring great salvation. And so they were there talking to him about that. Verse 5, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And so sometimes we take the approach, Brother Peter's in that same place where we want to say something, so we just say anything. And you know, Peter forgets. I mean, he's so enthralled with everything that's going on. And here is Moses, by whom God Almighty gave the Ten Commandments, and by whom the children of Israel were led out of Egypt and the nation was birthed. The first leader of the children of Israel beyond the patriarchs. And so Peter is seeing Moses here, and he's just wowed by it. And he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is wonderful. Let us make a tabernacle for you and for Moses and for Elijah. Elijah, the brother that stood there against Ahab and the prophets, 400 prophets of Baal. And that he prayed, and rain was withheld for 3 years in Israel. And then he prayed and rain came forth. He had a great victory in the sacrifice unto God, and he calling and challenging the 400 prophets of Baal to offer a sacrifice to Baal. And Elijah put down the test. Whoever answereth, whichever God answereth by fire, he is the true God. And of course, prophets of Baal cried and cut themselves and danced around and jumped around on the altar and all that to no avail. And then Elijah repaired the altar, poured water upon it in a ditch around it. And the water was gathered together, and he called upon God, and God answered and licked up the offering, the altar, and the water down to the bare ground with fire from heaven. And so Peter And James and John, they're remembering that. And Peter says, we've got to do something here, Lord. Let us build a tabernacle for you and for Moses and for Elijah. They're just really wowed. Don't know what to say. Have to say something. Wants to do something good, but forgets that it's all focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As great a men as Moses and Elijah are, the greatest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, through the rest of his life, did he remember what Moses and Elijah looked like? Did he remember the countenance of our brethren there and the glory that shone? And that he sure did. He writes about it in his epistle, doesn't he? That it's true that the Lord Jesus is the Savior and He is God, and that glory was just wondrous that they saw. It was to be a help to these brethren as they continued to minister, especially when they ministered after the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's ascension unto heaven. And he says, let's build these tabernacles. For he wist, verse number 6, for he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. He didn't know what to say, and so he said that. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And so God the Father there speaking to our brethren, saying, this is my beloved Son. It's all about him and what I've sent him to do, what he has come to do. It's all about him. This is my beloved Son. I birthed him. He is mine. He is obeying my will. He's following me. This is my beloved Son. Peter, James, and John, hear him. Listen to him. Hear the words of his mouth. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore. Elijah and Moses are gone, save Jesus, only with themselves. The glory of the Lord has been pulled back down. And as they came down, verse number 9, from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Fellas, don't tell anybody. It goes on to say in verse number 10, and they kept that saying with themselves, questioning with one another what the rising from the dead should mean. And so the Lord Jesus told them, don't tell anybody. You've experienced it. You've seen it. You've seen my glory. You've seen your brethren, Moses and Elijah. You've heard them talk about my death. Don't tell anybody till I raise from the dead. Don't repeat this till I raise from the dead. Obviously, they did repeat it because Brother Mark heard it and then wrote about it in his gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We point you to him. He is God and he is the Savior. He became a man to become a Savior for sinners, a suitable, a right Savior, tempted in all points like you and me, yet without sin. We point you to him. Repent of your sins and believe his gospel. Believe and trust in him for the salvation of your soul. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.